Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be continuing in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you once again for your goodness and mercy, for your great grace and your patience with us, Lord. We thank you. We do praise you, Lord, for who you are, the creator of heaven and earth. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. For you are the word, Lord. And you tell us in your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in our midst, and whatever we ask, you'll give us. You'll grant to us, Lord. So we do ask, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, guide this meeting, Lord. Bless the reading of your word. May it bring glory and honor to you, Lord. May it feed us and strengthen our hearts, Lord, to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian band or the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius was a Roman, a centurion. A centurion was a man who was in charge of at least 100 men, 100 soldiers. The Italian regiment was composed of Italians. That's why they called it Italian regiment. They were men who couldn't make it into the Roman army. The regular Roman army. It says that Cornelius was a devout man. Devout. One who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. He was a man who prayed to God. He was a devout man, a religious man. And you see that in the fact that he feared God. He wasn't a believer, but he feared God. He wasn't a believer, yet he gave alms to the people. Verse 3 says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up before me, before a memorial, before God. Once again, though he was not a believer, to say as Christians, if he would have died in this state, he would have been lost because he didn't know the Lord. He was a religious man like many of the Pharisees and scribes. Verse 5 says, that the angel said to him, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called for two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. Here again, the word is used, devout, meaning dedicated. Verse 8 says, "And when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." So here he explains what took place when the angel told him to send men to Joppa. Verse 9 says, "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city where Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." This journey from Caesarea to Joppa was about 35 to 40 hours, 35 to 40 miles, sorry. It's on foot. I don't know about you, but I don't walk too fast. To walk that distance, I don't know how long it would take. But anyway, verse 10 says, or verse 9, I'll repeat it. "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour and became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while he made ready to eat, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound from the four corners descending upon him and let down to earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill, eat.'" This is the next verses I find kind of humorous, kind of funny. It was verse 12, I'll read it again. It says, "In it were all kinds of four-footed animals and of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and birds of the air. This was a sheet that came down from heaven with the four corners tied together. And in that great sheet were animals of all types and creeping things and birds of the air." And verse 13 again says, "And a voice came to him," says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And here's the verse that I find kind of humorous. "But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.'" Can you imagine God telling you something or telling Peter, and Peter saying, "No, I'm not going to do that"? I mean, did he not recognize that it was the Lord talking to him? I think so. And yet, well, we know that Peter was outspoken and many times spoke without really thinking about what he was saying. Where it says, "And Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.'" Here the Lord tells him to eat something, and he tells the Lord, "No, I'm not going to do it." And the voice spoke to him again, the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. There are this number three times that the Lord had to tell Peter to take and eat, not to call unclean what he had called clean. This made me think about three other portions of scripture where the number three is used, or something takes place three times. In Matthew 26:36, Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go to you, go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came and found his disciples sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." How many times have you found that to be true in your own life? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You want to pray, but you start to fall asleep because you're so tired. Verse 42 says, again, the second time he went away and prayed, saying, "My Father, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. The third time. Why the third time? Why three times? Another place where three is used, in Luke 22:55. Luke 22:55. This isn't where, well, we could start at verse 54. And having arrested him, this is where they arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's home. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are also of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Second Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians 12, 7 through 12. This is when Paul, when God gives Paul the abundance of revelations. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I find it interesting. But then I remember that the Bible teaches that Satan can't do anything to us unless he gets permission from God. Paul says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. So it's Satan, Satan's messenger is the one that buffets him, the one that gives him the thorn in the flesh, so that he wouldn't be exalted above measure. And here's Paul's prayer. Now concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather suffer in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There's one last place. It's not a verse that talks about three times, but it does talk about the infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippians. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He says, not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are Christians who teach that this verse can mean that you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. That you can do anything. And they take this verse out of context when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was referring to the suffering, to being hungry, to abounding. He says in verse 11, for I learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to abase. I know how to be abase, and I know how to abound in everywhere. And in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Yet there are Christians like my brother who would have used this verse, and he used to use it in speaking to me and witnessing to me, and I was already a Christian. where he would say, whatever you want, you can have it. For it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I remember, I think I mentioned this once before, how my brother, we were both electricians in Local 3 in the Union in New York. And my brother, we just so happened in this, we were both working at Columbia University Library, one of the buildings that they have, working for different contractors in different buildings. I worked for one company and he worked for another company. And we used to meet at lunchtime to read scripture and to talk about the things of the Lord. And I remember him complaining about his foreman, his boss, giving him all the dirty jobs. And I'd say, well, what do you mean dirty jobs? He said, well, they have young apprentices who could do chopping. Chopping is when you're cutting into the ceiling and the dust. It was a dirty job. The floors in that particular buildings are made with ash. That's coal after it's been burned. And when you try to cut that or cut into it or chisel into it, it crumbles. It's very ashy, and especially during the summer when you're perspiring and the dust comes down and gets all over you, it's not a good feeling. But I remember him complaining that they should give it to the young apprentices to do that work, that he was a mechanic. And he shouldn't have been doing that type of work. And I told him, I said, but Greg, you're a Christian. You're supposed to do whatever they give you to do. He says, no, but I've been praying to the Lord to get me out of this, to take me to another job. And he would quote this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I couldn't convince him otherwise. He just kept saying that he's going to keep praying and he's going to get out of it. Well, I was doing the same type of work, except that I wasn't complaining. I was happy that I was working. In fact, at the end of the week when they used to hand me my check, I'd say, thank you. And I used to tell my brother this, and he said, well, why do you say thank you? You're working for that. You earned it. I say, yeah, I earned it, but I still say thank you. I appreciate it. Anyway, so when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he was referring to going through hard times. Now, we can go through hard times, and we could take that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and use it, but only if we believe it. Acts 10, verse 17. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who have been sent from Caesarea, from Cornelius, had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about this vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." I'm impressed, or it amazes me once again how we see God, our Father, how he answered prayers, how he works. While he had, here in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking to Cornelius. He sends an angel to talk to Cornelius, and he tells him what to do, to send to Joppa for a man called Peter, that he's going to tell him what to do. And at the same time, he's working in Peter's life, getting him ready to go to speak to Gentiles by this sheet where he tells him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." If Peter would have known that he was going to go to Cornelius, a Gentile's house, before he had this experience of the sheet, he probably would have said, "No, I'm not going." So we see how God can work in our lives, getting things ready. We could pray for something and we don't have to expect an answer right away. The Bible says that God is answering our prayers even when we can't see it. He's working things out for us. So that says that, verse 18 again, "And they called and asked for whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about this vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" This is God again letting Peter know that he's the one who's sending the angels, who has prepared the men and has brought them to Peter's door. It's God who's doing this. He says, "Arise, go down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius, and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." So here the two household servants and the devout soldier tell Peter that Cornelius, their master, had seen an angel and had summoned. The angel had sent them to Peter for him to go with them. Verse 23 says, "Then he invited them in and lodged them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied them." When I first read this, I thought to myself, why didn't he go right away? If the Lord said, go with them, why didn't he go right away? And then I remembered that the trip was a long distance. And they weren't riding chariots, they were walking. So it says that he invited them in, and on the next day, Peter went away with them. And some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Verse 24 says, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I could see him calling his relatives and close friends. For he was a godly man. Godly that he believed in God. And he prayed to God. And he gave alms to the people. So he was a religious man. And he knew that something special was going to come from Peter. So he called his relatives and his close friends to hear Peter. Verse 25 says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Verse 26, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Here we see Peter not accepting worship from a man. He lifts Cornelius up and tells him, stand up. I myself also am a man. Verse 27 says, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one another's nation, to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should call no man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked, then, for what reason have you sent for me? That verse there, for what reason have you sent for me? I can't. Maybe it's because I'm a Christian. Maybe it's because I know the scriptures or I'm reading them. But Peter, he asks, for what reason have you sent for me? What other reason could there be except to tell them what Christ has done for them? But anyway, verse 30 says, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner. A tanner is a person who dyed skins, animal skins. It says he is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. I looked up the word tanner just to make sure that I understood what it meant. But it also mentioned that, in fact, in one place, it said that, can you imagine Peter's smell? The smell on Peter's clothing, because he was abiding with Simon, a tanner. The tanner, the animal skins stunk, smelled. And he lived by the sea. I would imagine that he lived by the sea because it was breezy. and the smell of the skins were blown away. Verse 33 says, "And I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of truth, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John, which John preached. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Not to all people. God showed him openly, but not to all people. He had chosen his witnesses, who he was going to show Jesus to after he rose from the dead. Remember that there were up to a little more than 500 witnesses who saw Jesus. Why he didn't show him to everybody? I don't know, except to say that he chose witnesses because those are the ones he wanted. Those are the ones he had chosen. And he commanded us, for his verse 42. Verse 41, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen from God, before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets give witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Here Peter is preaching the gospel to Cornelius and his friends and family, telling them that whoever believes in Jesus will receive remission of sins or forgiveness of sins. Verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Remember the men, the disciples? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius and his family and friends. I believe that Cornelius accepted Jesus as his Savior, and I believe his household also. Again, it amazed me how Peter, how God was working in the lives of Cornelius, his friends and family, and at the same time in the life of Peter, when he told Cornelius in a dream or in a vision, sent for Peter, and then he told Peter, go with them, with the men that came from Cornelius, for I have something for you to do. And that was to preach the gospel to them. It reminds me of something that took place in the Old Testament in Genesis, when Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for his son. And Abraham gets his servant and tells him what to do to go to his family's home back where he came from and to get a wife for his son. And the servant says, he prays to the Lord after Abraham tells him, and he says, Lord, I want you to give me what I ask for. My prayer is that I will find a woman, a wife, for my master's son. And the way I know you'll bring her to me is if you, when I get there, and a woman comes to get water by the well, I'll know that it's her. If I ask her for water and she puts down her pitcher and gives me water and tells me, after I give you water, I'll give you a camel's water. And I think I had, you might remember that I mentioned this, that the camel drank from 20 to 30 gallons of water. 20 to 30 gallons of water, each camel. And the servant had said, she'll give me water and then water the camels. And each camel drank 20 to 30 gallons of water. And they had 10 camels. That's 10 times 20 or 30 gallons. This poor woman was probably really worn out at the end of watering the camels. But again, while he was listening to the servant's prayer, he was preparing the woman to do exactly what the man had prayed for. So let's trust the Lord when we ask for things, when we pray for something, like for safety, traveling to India. Or trust him in spite of the length of time that it takes to find a job. Trust him. He'll bring you to the right one. Let's trust the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy again. Again, for your patience with us, Lord. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the word that we've read, Lord, which talked to us about Cornelius and how you dealt with Cornelius, how you spoke to Cornelius. And as you told him to send to Joppa for Peter, Lord, how you were preparing Peter. Father, when we ask you for things, we ask for things, Lord, hoping to get answered prayer, not realizing, Father, that while we're asking you for one thing, you're already answering it. We may get our answer right away, or it may take some time, Father. What you expect from us is to trust you. Like the Apostle Paul said, in all things, in all things, we can trust you. Father, we do pray that you'll take us to our homes with your peace, your timing, your safety, Lord. That you would be with us, Lord, until we meet again. That you might be glorified in our lives, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.